God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. This is Brother Hutchings inviting the listeners to another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. And here now is Brother Jerry.
Thanks, Brother Hutchings. Well, we're nearing the end of an interesting series of programs aimed at answering the question of whether or not the United States has found an end-time prophecy. Brother Hutchings and Dr. Larry Spargimino are using Brother Hutchings' book, U.S. in Prophecy, as the springboard for their discussion. It's certainly been an interesting series, and we're making the book, a video on the subject, and the programs available to you. I'll tell you how to get them later in the broadcast. Here's Brother Hutchings to bring us up to date on where we are in the series.
Thank you, Brother Jerry. We've already considered the United States in prophecy from Daniel 7, also from Isaiah 13. We are also looking at Revelation 17 and 18. Could the United States be the mystery Babylon that God will judge in one day? There are many similarities here, and we're not saying that the United States is in a definitive sense. We're just investigating the possibilities. And then we're going to look at other possibilities or candidates for the nation, religious system, or even the city that could be the mystery Babylon of Revelation 17 and 18. Certainly, if it's the United States, then we have to be concerned. It may be a matter of whether our country, like Nineveh, repents. God's judgment was against Nineveh, but Nineveh repented and God spared that city for yet another considerable length of time. But we're going to be returning to Revelation 18. First, I want to mention that this has been somewhat of an unusual change from spring to summer months. I know during the winter months and spring months, we had quite good mails and good response to our radio programs. But it seems like that when school was out, vacation time, church activities, at the mail and response to our program has just almost stopped. And we have to pay radio bills, and we have to pay overhead here at the ministry. If you would like for our ministry to continue on the station to which you listen, you must support it. Dr. Spargimino, we're looking at Babylon. Could it be the United States?
Well, I think there are many, many statements in Scripture about the Babylon of prophecy that could certainly be true of the United States. I'm looking now at Revelation 18 and verse 7. It says, "How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow." Now, that's a very interesting statement, because here God is saying that judgment is going to be due Babylon because she said she will not be judged. In other words, she believes that she is exempt from judgment. She will never see any sorrow. And Dr. Hutchings, as I look at the steps that we are taking in America to ward off catastrophe, for example, I recently read that scientists in California are planning to lubricate the tectonic plates. In other words, when those plates rub together, there's all that shaking that causes an earthquake. It almost sounds like we're saying we're so great that disaster will never come upon us. We don't have to trust in the Lord. There are also scientists who are speaking about nuclear-tipped missiles that will pulverize asteroids. And they're saying, well, if we have an asteroid that's heading toward planet Earth, all we'll do is send up a missile and we'll blow it up. So it's like the prophecy in Revelation 18:7 nothing bad will happen to us. Our ingenuity will take care of us. We don't need God. We can deny God. We can kick God out of the courts and out of the public place. We can take away the Ten Commandments. We can forbid teachers to have Bibles on their desks in school. We can say it's illegal to pray. It's illegal to mention the name of Jesus Christ. We'll take care of all of our problems. Well, that certainly sounds like what's happening in America. And also it sounds like the judgment that will come upon Babylon, prophetic Babylon in Scripture, for her arrogance.
Yes, we've always been known pretty much since the Pilgrims landed at Plymouth Rock as a Christian nation. That doesn't mean that everyone in the country is a Christian, but the majority, I believe, have been Christians or at least professed to be Christians, and our laws have been established on the Bible and God's will for human government, but now we have legislated God out of our schools, and as Paul warned in Romans 1, that we no longer acknowledge God. We have kicked God out of our education, out of our knowledge. And you know what happened to Israel many times? Look at all the judgments that God brought against that nation when they wandered into apostasy and denied his name and worshiped other gods and idols. And I think we're doing the same thing here in the United States. Of course, we have a form of godliness now, but it's not the worship of the one true God. We're making gods in our own image. To whom God blesses much, he expects much. I have great concern for our nation in the future. And we are looking at Mystery Babylon. Could it be the United States? Yesterday we mentioned that one warning to Mystery Babylon just before judgment strikes is that God warns his people to get out of Babylon. We wondered who are God's people. Of course, this is a tribulation setting, and the church is already gone. Those who have been saved by not taking the mark of the beast or his number or name and turning to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, will have been killed. So the only identification for God's people left in Babylon would be God's earthly people, the Jew. There are more Jews in New York City than there are in Israel. So, again, we wonder if New York City, in identification with the United States, could be that particular mystery Babylon mentioned in Revelation 18 and 19. Dr. Spargimino, would you go ahead and read from verse 8 in Revelation 18.
In verse 8 it says, "Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her." And I think it's very interesting, Dr. Hutchings, that also in verse 10 it's similar to verse 8 because it says, "Standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come." Verse 8 says, in one day, and verse 10 it says, in one hour. Now that's sudden destruction, and that certainly sounds like a modern war. We know today that if maybe just 3 or 4 megaton intercontinental ballistic missiles were to hit the United States, it would all be over in an hour, and certainly in a day, when the dust settled, the entire nation would be totally devastated. So there's some more parallels right there.
And we go on, we read of all the merchandise that is dispensed out of Babylon to the nations of the world, probably 30 or 40 items here mentioned, and probably more. And we read that the merchants of the sea will stand afar off, moaning the fact that this great city has been destroyed, and they have lost their business, their merchandise. So again, we see the parallel there, but I would just like to mention some more parallels. And again, we are not saying definitively that New York City is Mystery Babylon of Revelation 17, 18. But it's an interesting study. For example, some believe that Great Babylon and Mystery Babylon are the Babylon on the Euphrates, as we've already mentioned, and the United Nations has said recently that they're going to rebuild Babylon. That's according to a New York Times article this past month. And some believe that both Babylons are the revived Roman Empire embraced in traditional Roman Catholicism. In other words, the Catholic Church and the revived Roman Empire of Europe. Some believe there will be two destructions of Babylon. Chapter 17 refers to the destruction of ecclesiastical Babylon. Chapter 18 refers to the destruction of commercial Babylon. And, of course, we think the prophetic word indicates that both will be destroyed. And some believe in two different end-time Babylons. Some believe the Babylon on the Euphrates in Rome. Some the Babylon on the Euphrates and the United States. So they're twin Babylons. Some unite two Babylons in the coming one world government and the government of Antichrist. But let's just go back and look at New York City, for example. Now, New York City is known as the Babylon on the Hudson. Now, across the bay and opposite the Statue of Liberty from New York is Babylon on Long Island, a city with a population of some 15,000 people. And God warns, "Come out of her, my people." And of course, as I mentioned, there are more Jews in New York City than there are in Israel. Babel was a multiracial city, and so is Babylon, New York. It's probably one of the most multiracial cities in the world. Mystery Babylon appears to be a large seaport and commercial city, and so is New York City, probably the busiest harbor in the world. We have mentioned the association of Madonna and the rebuilding of Babylon. Babylon was a world empire, and the United Nations headquarters building is located in New York City. All people from all nations had to bow before the image of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. The Statue of Liberty on Ellis Island in New York Harbor is the same size as Nebuchadnezzar's image, and all people from all over the world who come to this country pass the Statue of Liberty on Ellis Island. Babylon is described as a cup of gold. And, of course, at one time, after World War II, the United States owned 70% of the world's gold. And Babel, which became Babylon, was famous for its high tower. New York City not only had the highest towers in the world, it had two high towers. In fact, I've been privileged a couple of times to eat dinner on the top of the World Trade Towers in New York City. And my, you could see all the way up to New England, all the way down the coast of New Jersey. It was a fantastic sight. And they were known all over the world as the two most important commercial buildings in the world. And they were at that time, the highest building in the world. And Babylon will be destroyed in 1 hour, and of course we know the twin trade towers and the Pentagon wasn't completely destroyed, but it was greatly damaged, and that all happened in 1 hour. So there are many parallels here that indicate that New York City could be the Mystery Babylon, and that of course would incorporate the religious apostasy that is occurring across the country, as well as the political decay of the United States.
Brother Hutchings, if I might, let me tell everyone how to get a copy of the book on which these programs are based. U.S. in Prophecy, the 240-page book, is available for an offering of $15. That's also the gift amount for the approximately one-hour video, United States in Prophecy. Or you can get the book and video together for a gift of $25. To order, call 1-800 652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio Ministries, Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. I'll repeat this information at the close of the program in case you missed it. Brother Larry?
Well, certainly the Babylon of prophecy, as we're looking at these scriptures, we're told that it's a place that has corrupted the entire earth, the entire people of the earth. And I'm thinking, you know, with the porn, with the movies that the United States is putting out, the influence that the U.S. has negatively, the drug trade, certainly we are corrupting many millions of people. But, you know, Dr. Hutchings, one of the things that really makes me see that the reference could possibly be to the U.S., or at least in the future, is a statement in Jeremiah 50, verse 46. It says, at the noise of the taking of Babylon, the earth is moved. Now, the word earth there is Eretz. And Eretz doesn't mean one little geographical location. It doesn't mean like the land of Israel or the land of Babylon. The word Eretz means the earth, the entire globe. And certainly this is not just speaking about what happened in 539 BC, because China wasn't affected, Australia wasn't affected, New Guinea wasn't affected, Hawaii wasn't affected. But here, when this judgment comes, it's going to be universal. And this is the kind of thing that that says to me that what is being spoken of here, at least in part, is something that's going to occur in the tribulation and perhaps at the end of the tribulation, and far exceeds just historical Babylon.
We should keep in mind, however, that this is a tribulation scene. Jesus said that no man knows the day or the hour that he will come back literally to this earth. And we know he's coming back, though, at the end of the tribulation. Of course, he said, when you see these things coming to pass, know that it would be near, even at the door. But how long it will be in years before this judgment takes place, from our point in time, we cannot say with all certainty. We believe the end is near, but we cannot say in an absolutely definitive sense that it is near. We can look around and say, well, it can't go on much longer like this, and I certainly agree. But we don't know yet what is going to develop in the future. You know, in 1978, when I first went to Shanghai, it was a dirty, filthy city, nothing but bicycles. A motor vehicle was an oddity. Buildings were old, they were dirty, very little traffic. Streets were in very bad shape, nothing of beauty at all. And I know the last time we went to Shanghai, it looked like something out of Disneyland in downtown Shanghai. We stayed in a hotel over 100 stories high. We don't have hotels like that. Beautiful buildings, 8 and 10 lane elevated highways, traffic like New York or Los Angeles. All that happened in about 25 years. So we don't know what the next 25 years is going to come. Shanghai could even be the Babylon of Revelation by that time. But from this point in time, New York City and our nation as a whole certainly is a legitimate candidate for Babylon. But historically, Rome and the Catholic Church, a false religious system, with a city and a historical empire that is being revived through the European Union, may still be the primary candidate for the Babylon of Revelation 17 and 18. But we have to also be concerned that it could be the United States. And if that is a possibility, then Dr. Spargimeno, then don't you think it's time that we be concerned about repentance here in our own country?
Well, Dr. Hutchings, that I think is the real point of our discussion, because like you say, it's possible that the U.S. is Babylon, but maybe it's not possible. There are some factors, and we really don't know, but that's not the real bottom line. The bottom line is we need repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Only He can save. And my, when we look at what's happening in America and try to line these things up with statements in Jeremiah 50 and 51 and Revelation 17 and 18, I think one thing is very clear, as you point out, the time is now to repent and to believe.
2 Chronicles 7:14 is always an option. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, repent and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. I think if we could have a revival in the churches today, a repentance, true repentance, a turning to God, and not only confess our sins individually, but the sins of our country, even as Daniel did when he went before the Lord, we could have true revival in this country. I certainly would encourage you to get a copy of the book, United States in Prophecy. We've just had a new printing. It's a 240-page book. I think it will give you much to think and pray about it. You may also want to get a video about the United States in Prophecy based on Isaiah 18. But here now is Brother Jerry to give you the number to call or the address to write.
Thanks, Brother Hutchings. Friends, if you've not already ordered the book and the video, now's the time to do that. The telephone number to call, 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio Ministries, Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. The website address is swrc.com. The book, U.S. in Prophecy, is 240 pages in length, and it presents what Brother Hutchings believes is an objective conclusion that considers all the facts relating to the United States as the Babylon of Revelation 18. The video, entitled United States in Prophecy, is about an hour in length. It's a look at Isaiah chapter 18 as a possible reference to our nation in prophetic scriptures. Get the book for a gift of $15. That's also the gift amount for the video on either VHS or DVD, $15. Better yet, get both at the same time for an offering of $25. The five-part series of programs is available on CD or cassette tape for a contribution of $18. Again, to add these valuable resources to your library, call 1-800-652-1144. Write to Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008, or log on to the Internet. The web address is swrc.com. We're in the summer months now, and traditionally they've been difficult times for ministries such as ours. Would you please prayerfully consider making a monetary gift to help us keep these programs on your station? That means, of course, that when you do mail or call in the contribution, you'll need to let us know the call letters of this station. If you don't know that, the dial position will work. There are several areas of the country where more than one station shares the same zip codes, and that's why it's so important for you to tell us which station you hear. And that way we can properly credit it, and who knows, your gift might mean the difference in whether we're able to continue on that station or not. Stay tuned now for the third and last part of a question and answer from Brother Larry. It's heard over most of these stations. And join us tomorrow for another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. It's time for Southwest Radio Ministries Question and Answer. Answering today's question once again is Dr. Larry Spargimino, and we are concluding the question about the near-death experience. Brother Larry, we want to continue our discussion on the near-death experience. You've been sharing some very important insights about it. Is it possible that there are neurochemical and physiological explanations to the near-death experience?
There is much research in this area that is beyond my level of expertise and that is highly technical. However, there has been much material that has appeared in non-technical journals and periodicals that we can cite. It is known, for example, that schizophrenics have auditory hallucinations, that is, they hear things that don't exist in reality. Sleep deprivation, food deprivation, and water deprivation can produce a variety of experiences that appear very real, though they have really been created by internal physiological factors. The dramatic effects on the mind of certain hallucinogenic drugs to produce, quote, religious experiences have been widely noted. The drug ketamine is a short-acting hallucinogenic anesthetic. It's been used to produce something that is very similar to the near-death experience. When used as an anesthetic, patients claim to have been disassociated from their bodies so that it was possible to carry on surgical procedures without undue discomfort. This is completely different from the unconsciousness produced by conventional anesthetics. Now, I'm not saying that near-death experiences are produced by ketamine, but it does suggest that there could be physiological and chemical causes. Brain function and human experience is tied in with chemical messengers between cells called neurotransmitters. The complex relationship of the mind and brain suggests that neurobiology may at least to some extent provide insight into the near-death experience.
Those who have had a near-death experience almost universally feel that death is not to be feared and that there is love and acceptance on the other side of death. Isn't that dangerous?
Why, it sure is. Jesus tells the story of Lazarus and the rich man in Luke 16. Both men die. Lazarus is taken by the angels to Abraham's bosom, but the rich man goes to hell, as the Bible says. And in verse 23 we read, "And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom." In this place of torment, the rich man cries out and says, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." Other biblical accounts are similar. For example, in Mark 9, 43 and 44, Jesus says, "And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." Also in John 3:36 we read, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." The near-death experience is not preparing people for the reality of the wrath of God. This is certainly not the way to meet God.
That's today's question and answer. These Q&As and Bible in the News reports are published monthly in a magazine. If you'd like a copy, call 1-800-652-1144. Write to Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma, 73008. Please include a gift of $3 to cover shipping and handling. Join us for the next Watchman on the Wall program and a Bible in the News report or question and answer.